Matthew 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, my word shall not pass away. But of the day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until a flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler or steward over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's go to Titus, or 1 Peter 4:10. Let's go to 4:1. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, or desires of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you not run with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be you therefore sober, and watch unto prayer, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 4. Let a man, 4:1. Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, the only time that the word stewardship is used in the New Testament, other than in the parables, when it sounds like it's used for money or resources or talents, is with regard to either one of two things, either the mystery of God or the grace of God. And in the scriptures that we've read with regard to the parables about the faithful steward, a stewardship's faithfulness is dependent on only one thing, that he knoweth not what hour the Lord shall return, but with a sense of urgency that the end of all things is at hand. I mean, would you agree that that is the summary of what we've read in those other scriptures? What does it mean to be a steward of the mystery of God? Titus says that it is required of stewards that they be blameless with regard to stewardship. What is stewardship? Does anybody have any idea?
Matthew, we just read it, said it was to give them food in due season, always have it there.
It's always stewardship has this idea of what it's this great word, it's oikonomos. O-I-K-O-N-O-M-O-S. And oiko is from the root word which means temple. And nomos is from where we get the word law, the way a thing works. And it's contrasted in those things we've just read with Gentile. It's something different. It's something, in fact, if we do a scripture search on the meaning, we'll find that you know that it's not stewardship if it's something that Gentiles do. You understand that as a predicate, as a basis? To be a steward of the mystery means that you are about doing something that no Gentile would ever consider doing. You are they which justify yourselves among men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men, or Gentiles, is an abomination unto God. Now, we have learned through very painful experiences over many years that all things are in a parable. And there are varying degrees of clarity that reveal to us the mystery, all things. But the highest clarity there is, the most perfect parable, has to do with the relationships between a man and a woman. Culminating in a mystery called marriage. I speak to you of a mystery, and this mystery is great. It's the mystery of the bride. So from the standpoint of stewardship, there's also then varying degrees of responsibility with regard to the picture, or to the parable, or to the metaphor, beginning with marriage as the highest, or the relationship between a man and a woman as the highest responsibility of stewardship, probably going down to a gnat or something, you know, that's a lesser parable. But every moment is a slice of time that is a parable. Every nature, everything in nature, everything in every star in the heavens, every seed, every sperm cell is a parable. That at any slice of any moment, if we could slice it and stop it, it's the perfect, it's a picture where we're either seeing face to face or we're seeing through the glass darkly to see the singular mystery that all things reveal. But to see the mystery face to face means that you see the parable in a man and a woman. That's the closest thing there is to understanding the mystery of God. Am I communicating? Now, the progression of relationship between a man and a woman is the progression of the highest schematic, the highest parable, the highest degree of holiness, the highest degree of sanctification, the highest degree of justification that we can see, culminating, as we now know, in the eighth day of the marriage ceremony. I don't know what has happened in this body of people, but somehow we have lost the capacity for stewardship with regard to the highest mystery. Abuses of that stewardship are rampant in this body. Go to Luke 12. Verse 36. Verse 31, excuse me. Part of it is a repetition. The first part of Luke 12 is a repetition of the Sermon on the Mount. And I'm going to start up in 22. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. For the life is more than meat, and the body more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to a stature one cubit? If you then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take you thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be ye of double or doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. Now I read all that because the next section is about stewardship. I mean, so obviously stewardship is a different. I mean, it says this is all what the Gentiles do, and that isn't stewardship. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have, give alms, provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth himself and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and have not suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, are you speaking to us in a parable? Speakest thou thus this parable unto us, or even unto all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and be drunken. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour where he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask more. Now, we've not talked about this arena. We've not talked about the responsibility of having been given much. Now, if any of you have any doubts that you have been given much with regard to the meaning and the revelation and the mystery of the kingdom of God, then, you know, maybe you can con yourself into believing that you're just going to get a few stripes because you didn't know anything. You can plead ignorance. But I say unto you, and this says unto you, that if you've been given much, then stewardship is incumbent in a way that we haven't even begun to see yet.
And it's incumbent in regard to this deal about, I mean, the essence of stewardship is the good steward always is ever instant, in season, out of season, is ever present, that next instant may be the last. That's the first thing that happens with regard to stewardship. I'm not talking about moral issues. I'm talking about a way of thinking about life itself. I mean, you have nothing to say. I have nothing to say to anyone but with regard to moral issues. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the responsibility of stewardship. I'm talking about the other half of that coin, which all of you except Rex are guilty of, and he's probably not unguilty either, is the fact that on Friday night, every one of you knew something was wrong. Every one of you could have, you know, zero discernment, and you would have known something was wrong. And yet you waited and waited and waited and waited. John and Jackie made kidding statements from the music, but you sat and waited to see if I would say something. That makes you a zero steward. Because and believe it or not, these two conditions are intertwined. The only way that you this situation can exist is you've got to believe in dispensationalism. You've got to believe you don't have the presence of mind which states that the next instant it may be the last. You understand what I'm saying? So the issue isn't the moral aspects, the issue is stewardship. Now, You all must realize that had we not gone through the thing with Bloom, where I was able to say to him, I release you from all responsibility, you've got to know that I would have stopped that wedding even on Saturday night. If that wedding would have occurred among this people, this group by which God has given me stewardship over, I would have stopped the wedding. Because it violated everything that we know with regard to sanctification. The eighth day was the first day. Everything was backwards. You understand me? We robbed John and Paula because of our cowardice of the meaning of sanctification. The idea that you're progressively separate from the world. And we robbed all those people that were there of the revelation of Christ. We were evil stewards. We were unworthy stewards. And so we run around and took pride in the fact that a couple people said, what the hell's going on here? Believe me, I'm sure this will go back to John and Paula that I'm mad at them. I'm not. I'm mad at us. They had never experienced what we know about the mystery of the wedding, the mystery of the process of sanctification, the mystery of the bride going from the court of women to the judgment, to the mercy. I mean, I want us to wipe everything from this moment back clean. For if the Lord should mark iniquity, who should stand? But if you have any place right now where you are taking a stand, I would highly recommend you speak it. If you have any place in you where you're judging me for saying these things, I would highly recommend that you speak it.
understand. I guess I didn't understand what it meant when we released them. It's like
we didn't know.
We were supposed to have a hands-off thing completely, and that our only, and this is just what I understood, was that our only thing in regards to them was just giving with absolutely no expectation in return.
Well, that's fine. I'm not saying anything about that. I'm saying that John and Paula were robbed. I'm saying that those people that were there as guests were robbed. They were robbed because of us. Now, I mean, again, the conditions of it, whether or not, you know, I have no regrets about saying to John, I release you from any responsibility, or that, you know, all of that. I'm still saying that in the private times, and somehow, whether it's me or one of you, we should have sat down with them and gone through in great detail the meaning of this progression of sanctification. I mean, and the idea that was missed in everything, in that whole process, was the idea that without the right garment on, you cannot even attend the wedding. I mean, so it was reversed. But again, do you understand that I'm saying that's just symptomatic of the leaven in the whole body? And it's manifested in the flesh in all kinds of screwy conditions, including me. I'm not exempting anything. Now, the only question is, do you understand what I'm talking about? What is your response?
I don't understand the reversal part, for some reason that's unclear. Joy came at the last instead of starting at the beginning of the ceremony.
No, the world was invited to the eighth day.
Rather than the first day.
Think of Beth Louise.
Oh,
there was, on the eighth day ceremony, when the process goes of all of the steps up to the level, I mean, I must confess to you, I thought there was going to be simply a civil ceremony. I mean, that maybe you told me I didn't understand or whatever. I mean, a simple ceremony where... But when I heard the words that I'd spent years digging out, being thrown out to people that had no idea what they were talking about, what we were talking about, I almost died inside. Because it was taking and casting the pearl of the eighth day before the swine of the world. You understand me? That's that process. That's why it says that, you know, if you have on the wrong garment, your history for any excuse. It's only those that have on the right garment can hear that progression. That mystery of the canopy. Canopy and sanctification are the mystery only to the, if you will, forgive me, the mystery word, the initiates. It doesn't mean anything to the world. But I'm saying that process, that, I mean, I'm as much as fault, I'm, please believe me, I'm not pointing a finger at you without pointing the finger at me. And I'm not pointing a finger at anyone except this group, Stealth. I mean, had I done it, I mean, when you came and asked me to, you know, when we would have sat down and talked about the ceremony, and if I would have known you were going to do that, or try to do a modified version of the steps up to the mercy seat, I'd have hit the ceiling. So, I'm at fault because I said, you take it. I had no idea that's what you're going to do.
I thought you knew that we were taking Beth and Louie's ceremony and we'd ask for the notes or John had...
I haven't seen the notes. I have... Where... I mean... Where would I? How would I have known that?
I don't know. It just, it's hard to imagine that in conversation nothing ever slipped out, because it certainly wasn't hidden. And there's only one certain.
Well, that's like that. That's. I didn't know it.
It was just a real weird situation. I mean, a real weird situation.
Well, again,
I think, you know, to,
because we had, you know, all that shit had gone down, and then Paul and John call and want Gary to marry him, and what I wanted to do was talk to you, you know, first, and because it was like, this is just, it's just going to be real weird. And so, you know, they want a wedding like what we have had, that they experienced at Beth and Louis.
Okay. Again, I'm saying all of that is gone, except if anybody's taking a stand. I want us to be able to come to a point that says that that we can, and not just say, Father, forgive us. I'm not denigrating you. I mean, you can say, Father, forgive us until hell freezes over. I want us to come to the point where there is some recognition of stewardship. And what the stewardship of the mystery means, and what it means to whom much has been given. If he doesn't do it, you're going to get a bunch of stripes. If you don't do it, you'll get a few, if you don't know anything, you're still going to get a few stripes. But no one in this room can plead ignorance of the mystery. You may plead lack of wisdom. But if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. But have the courage to ask it. Do you understand what it means to cast pearl before the swine? Does that ever communicate? The pearl of that hidden place of canopy and sanctification. That's the end result of the mystery.
Jessica at Beth and Louis' wedding, I mean, if there's not a progressive revelation, then somebody who may be there with ears to hear won't, you know, I mean, it's like if the picture isn't set, I mean, there could be somebody there to hear.
You've got to by now see that the idea of what we understand as linear time, of the passage of time, is simply a continual repetition from every possible angle of the one mystery. And our responsibility, to whom much has been given, much shall be required. I don't know any group of people on the face of the earth that have been given more than we have. There may be. I pray that they are. There are. But that means, for us, from now on, stewardship has taken on a dimension that you've never dreamed of. If you want to go, I mean, you are in the same position, except far more so, than the Magi, who were the stewards of the mysteries. And they were the, I mean, you know, in the ancient temple initiates who are the Egyptians in the Book of the Dead and the temple priests. I mean, their process of stewardship theirs was like kindergarten compared to us, because they only saw a teeny bit of the revelation, and yet they protected it with their lives, with their fortunes, with, I mean, it was, they had no other thing going other than stewardship. Pam, what's going on?
I'm just feeling overwhelmed of inability, unable to do any of it. All I keep hearing anymore is, you gotta do this, you gotta do that, or you're out. You gotta do this, you gotta do that, or you're out. got to do this, you got to do that, or you're not part of it. You know, it's like, it's just, I can't do any of it.
But I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Do you understand? The only doing here is the idea that he is coming is in the next instant. You will automatically respond. You will automatically have the stewardship if you know that. You got to know this was written 2,000 years ago. I mean, that immediacy is a whole lot closer now than it was then. It's a whole lot closer now than the day you first believed. It's a whole lot closer now than the day that we became a body. It's a whole lot closer now than the day you begin to understand what abandoning yourself is. That sense of immediacy is what I am trying to impart to you. I'm not trying to impart to you a bunch of new rules. If you had the sense of immediacy on Friday night, do you understand? You are fully equipped for the work of the ministry. The only thing you lack is the sense of immediacy.
I think at the very beginning, I knew that allowing them to leave you out of it was just weird. I mean, to me, it was just weird.
The
very first night we talked to him, and you know, Gary and I talked about it, and it's like I was kind of confused because the whole idea of releasing them and not putting any expectations on them and all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, it's not complete without you in the whole process. It's just not. And I saw so clearly Saturday night what your role is in the marriage ceremony. And, you know, the place where I feel like we dropped the ball, you know, was in the very beginning in not saying, you know, well, always a part of this ceremony and we don't do it any other way.
I was extremely, I don't want to use the word confused, but I thought the situation was, hey, we've let these people go, and now they've asked for help. They've called Gary, and they've asked for help. They've called me, and they've asked for help. And it's up to us to respond to their requests. I mean, from day one, I felt like I was in the middle. Yeah, it was fucked up. There was no candelabra on either side. There was no candelabra in the front. There was no this, there's no that. I said, hey, so what? It's not my place to say you're doing this wrong, you're doing this wrong, you're doing this wrong.
That's
to
what
respond
I am
to the
saying
request
to
of me.
I am saying to every one of you, all I'm ever saying to you, ever, is speak what's there.
Yeah, we all had the opportunity to speak what was
there.
Yeah, and the authority, but...
And releasing God was not saying we're just going to let him, you know, let him and them do whatever they want without talking, without saying.
It was made, it was made obvious to me. I don't want any interference. I know exactly what I want. I want you to do this, this, and this. I don't want you to do anything else. I don't want this thing. I don't want that thing. Don't worry about it. Do exactly what I'm at. No, this is from Paul.
Okay. Well, let me.
And I sat there and I said, okay, I'm just gonna do it.
Okay.
Friday night, when I got there, you saw the state I was in when I got there. I mean, that not the not you, but that rehearsal was a fucking Chinese fire drill. It drove me crazy. I spoke something to you, but my attitude to Friday night was, let's just fucking get through it. Let's just get through it.
Okay. Again, I would say to you, all I'm asking, ever and always, especially of you, all of you, is that you, speak What's there? Let every man speak as the oracle of God. You have been delivered the full counsel of God, as far as I know. You have been given mysteries that science and philosophers and, I mean, they give their lives to hear what you hear. Forget me. I've been given the same thing. I mean, I spent years and years and years searching for this stuff. And all of a sudden, boom, it was there with no effort on my part. Freely given. I have nothing I didn't receive. But, it's time that you stood up and accepted that you are priests and Levites of the Most High God. That all authority in heaven and earth has been delivered over to you. Now, if that's tested, you didn't have it in the first place. You didn't believe it in the first place. If I test you on it and you say, well, I only, blah, 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 then you haven't got it. You didn't have it ever. You didn't believe you had it, so therefore you moped around like some poor lapdog. I'm telling you, tonight, you have all mysteries. You have all authority. You have the keys. The trust, all it requires is the trust of the impulse. Now, I purposefully waited until the 117th Psalm was sung Friday night. Whether that makes me a bastard or not, I'm always a bastard. To see if anyone would speak. I had no idea what I was going to say. It could have just as easily required, I mean, I had no idea when I stood up what was going to happen. It could have been that, all right, again, there's all hell broke loose, none of us are going to participate in the wedding, it's done, it's finished, it's over. I mean, if you have an impulse, and if you have a certainty and a feeling, and you don't speak because you're afraid you're going to get your ass kicked by me, well, something has got to override that. The only thing that's going to override the fear of me is the fear of God. Yeah. And the fear of not speaking. I mean, I'll play games with you from as long as I'm here. I'll push all your buttons every chance I get. I want you to begin to have an understanding of stewardship. And again, what we just read, to whom much has been given. Do you all agree that you've been given much?
Yeah.
Freely. No effort on your part. To whom much has been given, much shall be required. I don't understand totally what it means about the stripes. If you've been given bunches of stripes, if you've been given much and you're unfaithful. But I know enough to know.
This much stripes from God, so you don't want to find out.
I know enough to know that I better do the watchman's duty.
This comes, I mean, it's not just not speaking Friday night, or, you know, like this last week, it was totally ignoring the just shrinking back in all walks that has happened, you know, and instead of, you know, bringing that forward or, you know, confronting that before God, waiting, whatever, you know, it's just a continual shrinking back.
And
it's the same thing like what happened Friday night, or
you know, the God of the universe is our daddy. We cannot make a mistake. Let's go for it.
Now, well, if we can't make a mistake, how come Ola yells at me?
Oh,
it's his job. Oh, yeah.
Well, or how come Ola encourages Tyra to boycott your Bible study? Yeah, because she said, me and people call me and said, I don't want to go over there. And I said, well, don't.
That's what I told last week.
I'm always going to be a bastard. You might as well get that through your head.
Yeah, we're just going to quit and get away with it.
What I'd like to hear more about is this thing about living as if the Lord will appear and announce it. I don't do that. And I think the reason I don't do it is I expect that to be evil. I expect bad stuff when that nanosecond collapses. Rather than, I don't expect that the desires of my heart will be, I don't expect the Messiah is the desirable man. I don't expect that when that nanosecond takes place, good stuff's going to happen. I shrink back from it because I think bad stuff's going to happen. And I don't even want to do that.
Again, what I read the other night, is if the resurrection isn't now, you don't want that day to come. Woe unto him that says, be like if you run from a lion and a bear met you. You leaned against the wall to rest and a snake bit you. I mean,
it's like this thing about the good steward. It's like the good steward is doing what he'd be doing if the master were there. He isn't thinking about he may come.
Amen. The good steward is simply, but in terms of stewardship, the good steward knows a mystery. The mystery is that I am not my own. That everything I say in thought, word, and deed is unto the Lord because he's in front of me. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. I am careful for nothing. I trust every impulse in me as of the Father. I recognize it will be tested in every arena possible. Who cares? I can't pass the test. I can't fail the test. It's his life. Amen. I know that I'm but a vessel, and the vessel can never contain itself. Therefore, it's containing something glorious.
So the only time that nanosecond exists is when the steward thinks
that he has to perform.
That he has to perform.
That's why I said nothing about stewardship. Yeah. Nothing about stewardship of this mystery has anything to do with the stewardship of the Gentiles. It's exactly the opposite. Be careful for nothing. A steward is always careful. That's the idea.
This first time I think I understood dispensation differently, dispensation and now.
That's a big one for you.
Why don't you beat him up? Just hit him. Just smack him one.
You may
have the guts to say that you believe in dispensationalism. Doug lives like he believes in dispensationalism.
I used to. Each moment of time is just a revelation of the mystery again and again and again and again.
The moment you believe the lie of performance, I just chewed you up because you've been trying to be careful. Don't you understand that?
It's like this wedding thing. I mean, you could yell at me for the next 100 years about the way this wedding went down, and it don't bother me.
How about you and Jessica?
It doesn't bother me.
That should bother me. What bothers you?
I mean, I'm not talking about the missed opportunities and the eighth day and all that. I'm talking about this little thing that we go on a trip about.
Let me say something that's going to be even more wild. At every marriage and at every feast, every one of you
is the governor of the feast. Unless you have that as your mindset, you will never prophesy.
That's what I was thinking. If for some reason the governor of the feast, like you were silenced for whatever reason, we're all there to step in with and whatever needs to happen.
Amen.
And at every funeral.
Well, I was a little big day because I think too that, it's like, you don't want to ask me anything. I didn't really consciously think it, but it was like,
I did that about 20 times in 3 days.
Okay.
People would say, well, what about this? And I just go, it's not my responsibility.
Okay, I want you to just visualize something. That's my attitude from now on. If you want to do your thing, go ahead.
We haven't asked you to be that way now.
Let me clarify something here. This, what we're talking about here, doesn't matter where we are or when it is, it's everywhere at all times.
Because all times are the day the Lord hath made. The only day made was the eighth day of the feast. It's always that day.
Yeah, I've kind of used some weird trick to justify only required to prophesy in body and occasionally outside in the place of
travel. You have a little bit of understanding about stewardship?
Yeah.
To be a steward of the mystery. That you be required to be found faithful.
The good steward doesn't believe the lie of the master's absence.
He doesn't believe.
It's not real to him.
Yeah.
Whether it looks like he's gone, to the good steward, it's not a reality. The master is always there. He's always there.
Now, again, I have, please, for John and Paula and Bobby and David and Louie and Cheryl, I'm sure that for them they thought that was a nice wedding. And that's fine. I'm talking about for you who have been given much. Now, the question is, are you now going to a wedding or a funeral? If you're going to a funeral, you're going to your own. If you're going to a wedding, then let's get on with it. Let's be careful for nothing. The Lord is at hand. Let your moderation, your abandonment, be known unto all men. Everything by prayer and supplication, put your mouth in the lion's mouth. I mean, your head in the lion's mouth. By prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passes understanding shall keep your hearts and minds centered on Christ. In an instant, you can go back to self. In an instant, in a microsecond. I'll try to make you go back to self all the time. What? Oh, that stupid phone. I'm going to be careful for nothing and throw the phone away and never get another one.
But you said you liked it the other day.
Well, I like it instead of all those other phones, because now you can turn it off.
It's a better
phone.
Yeah. The ability to phone.
Let's take a break.
Let's take a break.
No, let's wait a minute. I didn't know it was 9:30. Take it, big guy. Anybody have anything else?
Too late for that.
It's too late. It's too late.
I said the liturgy.
Yeah, can't.
Did you spit all over yourself or something, Rex?
Yeah, I did. I can't. The door's closed.
All right.